All right, before we start this episode, Rain, I want to address something. I got butchered in the comments on our DDP interview last week. People got very mad at me because I said one time that he was from Australia. Of course, I know the guy's from South Africa. I made a mistake. I saw it in the editing process, but I didn't remove it because guess what, Rain? We all make mistakes. I'm sorry, very, very sorry that I said he's from Australia. I know that Dricus du Plessis is from South Africa. Another thing I got murdered for, Rain, not knowing the population of my home country of Canada. I don't really feel bad about that. I don't know the population of my country. I don't know if that's a thing that people should know, Rain. But again, I am sorry. I will try to be a better host. I will try to be better prepared. And I will try to be more careful with what I say as best as I can. But hey, I'm only human. Rain, take it away.
Well, thank you for saying sorry. Well, welcome fans, viewers, and listeners to Fight Insight Podcast. Before we get things started, please do follow and subscribe to Fight Insight Podcast so you can get the latest news and episodes from our show. Our amazing guests today will start with the PFL Light Heavyweight Champion and Fight Insight Podcast Male Fighter of the Year, Impa Kasanganai, followed by the winner of Fight Insight Podcast Submission of the Year, Amber Terrell. Plus, we will talk about our reaction to Aljamain Sterling's feelings about butt scooting. And we want to know, what do you feel? How do you feel about butt scooting? All that and more. So, Tim, hit it! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Fight Insight Podcast.
All right, our first guest today, he is a former accountant who holds 3 degrees, an associate degree in business administration and accounting, a bachelor's in accounting, and a bachelor's in finance. But you may know him best as the 2023 PFL Light Heavyweight Champion and PFL season winner. Or you may know him best as the Fight Insight 2023 Fighter of the Year. Rain, we are so excited. We've spoken to him a little bit already, but I am telling you, above everything, this man is a polite and respectful gentleman. He is a honorable and respectful martial artist. He upholds it in everything, in every walk of his life. We are so excited to have him here today, guys. Rain, bring him in.
Please welcome Chilobo Impa Kasanganai.
Hey, y'all. How you doing?
There he is. Impa, how are you, my friend?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate you.
Now, pretend that you don't know the questions I'm about to ask you, okay? Because for those that don't know, we've already kind of like glitched through a few times. So we're redoing this. Impa is such a nice guy. He's gone. You're now at your gym, Impa, to be able to conduct this interview.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. So I don't know what happened. I apologize for the technical difficulties. First time this has happened, but thanks for having me on. I'm happy to be out, so thank you.
No worries. No worries at all, Impa. And we appreciate your time. I do want to say, you know, congratulations. You weren't even supposed to be in the PFL championship. You work your way in. You go through everything, all the struggles and everything in life that you've done. And I do encourage people to watch your interview on the MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani because it documents everything that you've done. You go through. Your faith is strong, both in yourself and in everything and in God. What do you attribute your success to in that PFL championship?
Yeah, so most importantly, like, you know, my faith in Christ. Like, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to press it upon anybody. My parents and, man, a special shout out to my trainers and my coaches, my teammates. You know, like, I wouldn't be here without them. Like, it's not – nobody's more important than the other, right? I say God's centerpiece. It doesn't make people feel like they're less, right? It keeps me grounded because, like, when life goes crazy, you know what the foundation is, right? So no matter what, I would say I work for God, I work with people, because people are going to piss you off, to be frank, right? The people that you work with, the people are going to piss you off. But most importantly, like, if you say I work for God and I work with people, that the people that I work with, I always want to honor them, whether we agree or disagree, and that's important, right? Because you know, your trainer's challenging, they want the best for you. So, like, you got to challenge them, they got to challenge you. Coach Greg Jones told me, there's nothing without the mentor and the mentee. The mentee is as important for the mentor, is just as important as the mentor is for the mentee. And, like, a lot of them mentor me. training for 4 years now. You know, I've been putting a pro for coming up on five this year. You know, the middle of January, I'll be five pros, years as a pro, 5 years, 6 years training total. And man, like, there's so much to learn and grow with. At the same time, you have to know who you are as a man. So I just thank God for the people that you put in my life, my family, my trainers, and all my teammates. And that's why I attribute my success, because without God, I wouldn't be here. And what the people put in my life, I wouldn't be here either. So thank you. Thanks for having me on.
No, it's incredible, Imp. And I really love your story, and I love your how you talk and how you speak. I wanted to ask you about your walkout song. Your walkout song is unlike anything that other people have. It's a worship song.
Yeah.
And it's by Jen Johnson. It's called God is Good, I believe.
Yeah, so it's called The Goodness of God by Jen Johnson, Bethel Music. And I don't know, man. Like, when I started MMA, I was finishing college and I got a great accounting job. And I was always like, said, like, MMA is my ministry. If you think about MMA, right, like, it's built off like trash talking. And for lack of a better word, excuse my language, but it's built off shit talking, right? And like, you see a lot of people have to break people down. Like, you saw, like, in the UFC, you saw Dricus and Duplessis going to some dark places. You've seen some people call people out on some dark places. And it's like, man, like, is that where we really need to go in this? If there's a kid watching who might not be as strong, and they end up killing themselves, lack of, you know, for anything, right? And yeah, it's our responsibility as fighters. Like, no matter how I view myself, like, I like to be in nature, I like to chill, I like to be to myself, be in the garden. At the same time, too, I know that there's somebody out there who, for some reason, values what I have to say, and they take a lot of heart to what I have to say. So, most importantly, I say MMA is my ministry. And that there are people out there who, MMA is such a dark world, you got to be a light in it and don't be ashamed about it. Like, I think even like guys like Strickland, like, you know, he's been through some rough times, and he'll reach people that are going through the same thing he's going through as a kid, and you never know, and they become a great doctor, accountant, maybe they're the railroad track worker, maybe they're working at Popeyes, maybe they're working at Wendy's, I don't know, McDonald's, but they're building their life to better. I'm not saying they're going to be a professional fighter, athlete, or even semi-famous. But I always say, like, man, like, my parents raised me up in like a Christian household. They told me to love people unconditionally, even if they don't love the Lord. And that everybody, every single person, whether they hate God or they love God, that God still loves them. So that's my big thing. And that's my most important thing about fighting. It's not necessarily the money. It's not necessarily the success of it all. Like, I'm grateful. I love to fight. And I believe that my work ethic should be the standard of what it all is. So I challenge myself to do that. At the same time, too, it's not like about breaking people down. And I think that MMA has become such like a dark place.
Yeah.
It gets those like hyped up videos, but that's not what I want to be remembered for. So that's where it comes from, man. That's where it comes from, y'all. Cause like, I don't know, you take this all away, and then I want to have kids, and they're going to be like, I tell them to act the day that I get married, the day that I have kids. And I say, take care of yourself, behave yourself. And they're like, Dad, we watched your old interviews and you were a jerk. You were a complete ass. You know, they're gonna look at me like, is that how we're supposed to act? You know, and then yeah. my mom always threatens me. She's like, you're not gonna still whoop you, right? So I'm like, you know, like how I carry myself, right? Like, and I hate to swear, but in this moment, like, I'm not against it, but it's more so like to focus on like the severity of it. Like, there's some kid watching, and they're gonna think it's okay because of what I do. For some reason, they value me as a fighter, and they love and they're inspired by it. And then they're like, I'm going to act like impacts. And if I act like that, and then maybe they're in the wrong situation, I'm acting crazy and they get shot. Like, that's my responsibility too. Yeah. So, I don't know. I take that to heart. I take that to heart. And that's how I live my life.
No, Impa, let me tell you, I know that of all the big things in your life, winning the Fight Insight Fighter of the Year award was probably your biggest accomplishment. Okay. You don't have to say it. I know it is, Impa. But I want to tell you, when we were going through our winners and when we were going through like the people that we chose, even just for nominations, right? We know we left out tons of people that probably were deserving as well of our tiny little award. But what made the difference on several of them is the kind of person that you are, the kind of person that the fighter is outside and inside the cage. It's equally important to me, Impa. And so everything that you're saying, like, we always talk about that, Rain, we talk about it all the time, about the people, right? And we love to have guests on the show that are the respectful and good people outside of the cage. I would say even more so than what they do inside, because you're right. It's about everybody watching you and seeing what you do, Impa. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you. That to me is what it's about. That's what martial arts is, right? Like, you got to help people's lives get better, even if it's like you have to be a little more patient to help your life get better too, right? So, So thank you. It's an honor. Seriously, thank you.
Yeah, no, it's an honor for us to have you, Impa. Now, I do want to get to, you know, from what we learn from one another and things like that. You were on your Chilobo trek. Yeah. You were on your Triumph motorcycle, traveling around the States, visiting your family and friends. But I heard that you met up with a 37-year veteran Navy SEAL. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you, what did you learn from him, or what did you take away from him? Because that is so interesting to me.
Yeah, man. I asked myself, what did I not learn? Like, Admiral Kralin was so nice. And my friend Jack Daly, he's the owner of TRX, a great man. He has so many things. He has a... Close, please. Hi, that's Henry's wife, Pookie. she said she keep the door closed. I try to keep it quiet for y'all, but that's how they do.
No worries.
So, that's why she's about to be closed or open. I'm like, I love her. I'm so blessed that people in my life have like been so like supportive of me. Jack Daly's one of those people, and I look at it like he's mentored me, he's loved me, he's encouraged me, and I've been they're opening the door. Sorry, girl. I tried.
That's okay. The fighter's life, guys. This is the fighter's life. Impa is, you know.
Oh gosh, you're gonna be quiet. I'm sorry, but pretty much, they. Oh my gosh, they don't even see me right now. They're not even looking. Hey, so they've encouraged me to be better, and so anyways, so I get to meet Lieutenant Kralin on this motorcycle ride, and he encouraged me. You know, he's like, he's so sharp, and he just talked about his life, like how hard he worked. He's an admiral in the Navy SEALs for 37 years. He wrestled at Lehigh University, so he understands martial arts, but man, he's so sharp. And it taught me like a couple of things, like how much you have to focus on becoming a better man, and how much you have to focus on like being so disciplined enough. His one kid's wrestling at Navy, his other kid's wrestling in another school, and his daughter's about to do great things. And it's like, how you cultivate that culture in your life and for your family. And he's never made excuses. So, you know, as a Navy SEAL, he had just got his knee surgery, so God bless him. But he's never, ever, ever, ever made an excuse. And like, you see him like so many missions. They called him Killer Kralin. And like, when you get that nickname amongst the Navy SEALs, it shows that you're better. Man, we talked for like a couple hours, and then my friends continued on the motorcycle journey. Like, the guys were filming, and I just stayed there, and I wanted to pick his brain. And he just talked about like, finding the right woman in your life is very important. Mm-hmm. Find the right partner. His wife, she was an astronaut. So like, she did some crazy things. Military, did some great work. And like, done some amazing, amazing, amazing things that just really made me proud. His inside workout facility is just some of this, like this crazy thing. But even at maybe close to 60s plus, you know, still working out, discipline, and discipline carries you so far. And like, when you talk to a guy like that, who's been through so many tours, led so many men, kept them alive, brought them back to their families, and like honored and served the country that I live in. It's just like, dang, like you're doing some cool things. And he's so real too, man. He's so real. And his house is beautiful. Like, they live on like in the near Virginia Beach, but in this bay. And I'm just honored. I'm honored to be there. And one lesson I learned is like this, right? It's like, I would say, how long are you gonna wait till you demand the best of yourself? And that was like the person that I saw that really embodied that. No matter what age, like, he treated the guys, Joseph Howell and my friend who runs my media, Cliff Barrett, who's the director of a lot of like films that I do, like with Chilobo's Trek. Super, super cool, super, super nice, and just like honored us when he didn't have to do that, right? Like, we should have treated him, but just talked to me for an extra hour, and like, I felt really loved. So it really inspired me, and like, it challenged me till this day.
Yeah, that's awesome, Impa. That's great. And I hope that you develop a relationship with him to, you know, to continue to have those talks and be able to learn from him. So, but people can learn from you. Impa, I do want to ask you, and I know this dude is a busy man. He's a very busy man. The champ is busy. But I do want to ask you. You were saying things about who you want to fight next. You were going on about what's going on. The PFL now purchases Bellator. From what we hear from Don Davis, it's going to be champions versus champions. So I feel like the next step for you is very likely to be Vadim Nemkov, who is the light heavyweight Bellator champion. I know you've called out Francis Ngannou, and I do like that fight for you. And I know that you were looking also at Johnny Eblen as well.
Yeah.
Of all the things, what are you excited for? Have you heard anything yet?
Man, I'm waiting to hear. Like, I'm just there's so much going on behind the scenes of PFL, right? Like, I just try to stay private, but all. But it's like, I heard Nemkov's going up, so we'll see. I'll fight anybody. I know Corey Anderson called me out. I'm glad to go down and fight Johnny Eblen. Johnny Eblen's a very good fighter. Like, you know, like, I know I'll claim that victory as well. Like, it's just like, I mean, fighters fight. Like, I got a title, and Tyrone Spong said it best. Take that title, put salt and pepper on it. Take that belt, put salt and pepper on it, and try to eat it. And I was like, it's a good perspective. So, like, remember that you're a warrior, and warriors do what they do. I'm grateful to represent Kill Cliff. I'm grateful to represent this gym, and I love to fight. And, like, you never promise tomorrow. I mean, I love riding motorcycles, so I know that my life is at risk every single day, right? So, at the same time, too, being grateful for who I am and what I'm called to do. So, like, I don't ever want to forget, like, who I am because I got a gold belt where they say $1 million check, right? Like, all that stuff is, like, I can't take it to heaven with me. So, but one thing I can take is, like, the fact that I got to hopefully inspire somebody just to say, look, I got to walk out. I walk out to this walkout song again. Somebody hears it and they're inspired and their life is a lot better from it. And that's more important than a belt to me. So, like, you know, when I see a guy like Johnny Eblen down to fight, let's go, let's do it. When I see a guy like Nemkov, if he's down to fight, I go up, I'll fight him too. If it's Corey Anderson, like, I respect the guy and I like him. We've talked a few times. I'll fight him too. Like, I don't care. Ngannou, the day that fight comes, go take him out too. So I appreciate you. And like I told people, I'm not playing. It wasn't about a hype thing. It wasn't about the $2 million. Like, I can go be an accountant. I can go get my MBA, which is the next step in my life, you know, get my MBA, my PhD. Like, I want to do that and, you know, further my education. It's not about the money. Like, I can make a lot more money fighting without getting my head punched or coming to practice and hurting yourself. I'm totally fine. But when I'm called to do something else, it's like, I love what I get to do. And that's what it is. So any of those guys, right? Eblen's a solid fighter. The guys right around the way in the same area. Let's go do it. Let's go take him out. Right. And I mean, that'd be a fight that I definitely won. If Nemkov wants to fight at 205 or heavyweight, whatever, like I'm down. But any of those fights, man, I take all those guys out and I'll show it. I'm not a trash talker. It's not who I am. But and at the same time, I want the best that I can fight. Like, I'm here to be the warrior that God's called me to be.
Yeah, that you are, Impa. And we're down to see it all. Impa, I've got two questions I'm gonna ask you, and then that's it. But the first question, have you bought yourself anything with the $1 million?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Nothing?
No, like, I don't know, man. Like, there's a time in my life where, like, you have a lot in life you don't, and then you realize that money, like, it's not the end-all, be-all, right? And I told them to get pretty public about, like, my finances because I want fighters and athletes to see they can do a lot with a little. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about if you're faithful with a little, you're faithful with a lot. And it's not the time yet. Like, my ultimate financial goal, multi-billionaire for sure. Take care of my family, do things. But I don't want the money so I can, like, quote-unquote flex it, right? That's, I want to do it so I can help people and show them that your best life can be lived based on doing your passions. I don't want to be a person. Henry's looking at me. Sorry, Henry. I want to be a person that's living life based on just money, right? Like, I told myself, like, to be a champion again, like, you have to make yourself uncomfortable. Like, I walk to the gym, right? I could go buy a new car, I could do whatever, but I want to walk to the gym. I want that 25-minute walk. I want that, if I hit the shortcut, it's 10 minutes, right? I want to be the person that's going to, like, inspire my team to be better. That's more important to me and, like, all the lives that are changed. And that's it. That's it. That's it for me. Like, I love what I get to do. I'm not going to get higher than myself. I always wear a blue collar because I want that blue collar work ethic, and that's it.
Mm. Yeah. Nice. You're not going to flex your millions like Ringside Rain does to me all the time? You know, all those Hello Kitties in the back, Impa, those things are worth millions.
Millions of dollars.
Yeah.
That's why they're in a glass case.
I see.
They're all for my friends.
Impa, I'm going to ask you one final question that we ask all of our guests. And now I want to ask it to you. It's a question that my mom used to ask me all the time when I was growing up. And I'm going to ask it to you. On a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you?
man, like a happiness, I guess, that changes every day. I'm full of joy. I don't know how happy I am, honestly, if you want the honest answer. Some days it feels like zero. Some days it feels like 25. I'll say this. This is a cool personal question. I like that you're about to ask you that. I was in Ireland and went to the PFL European Finals, and I didn't think I was happy for years, right? Mm. I was like probably negative 20, right? Everything going on, personal life. I thought I was going to get married, all these different things, like figuring out yourself. You're living in your car. You can go in a circle of things, right? But I can always say I was always full of joy. So right now, specifically, I'd say a one. But it's not a bad place to be because my joy meter is full of joy because my perspective on it all is going to be better. But if I were to look at my life and wonder like what's going on and like everything that's been going on behind the scenes and everything, I would definitely say a one, but it's not a bad place to be. But it's not due to like PFL or the fights. It's just like the perspective on it all, what it could really be. I mean, there's an influence with PFL. There's an influence like where my career has been and all this stuff. And like, you could talk about your love life and you could talk about your career and finances and all that stuff, but man, maybe it's a one. And that's the honest answer. But my joy perspective, man, it's infinity. Cause I know God's got a great plan. So like, it's kind of a weird place to be, right? Because you're just kind of wondering, like some days you don't feel it. Some days you're just sitting there like, come on, man. But every day I wake up, man, and I get to the gym and I train. Probably training from like 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Get to the gym early. I do my activation. I do my mobility with a barwist. Then I go over to the gym and I train. And then I get to talk to people like y'all and I get invited and I'm happy with that. I'm joyful with that. I'm happy, you know, thanks for inviting, you know, nominating me as Fight of the Year. That's a true honor, like, especially when I think about all that's happened in my life. But no matter what, I'll praise God and I'm just happy about that. And like the fact that I get to punch somebody in the face and I say I live my life on vacation. I count that as a victory. My motorcycle got a flat tire, so that probably has to do something with it. I walked outside and I was ready to ride my bike and I was like, oh man, I got a flat tire. So that's a pretty sad. So Dash is down for a little bit, but we're gonna get a new tire this week. So that's not nice. I appreciate
that. But that's one of those answers that I'm gonna have to listen back to and really digest. But I really appreciate your answer. I appreciate your honesty. Rain, before we let the man go, what is your last question for Mr. Impa Kasang and I?
Yeah, so Impa, I love that what you said about MMA is a ministry, right? Because it took me back to my very first time inside the cage as a cage announcer. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was nervous, you know, and then in my head, what calmed me down was thinking, you know what? This place right now inside the cage, this is my church. This is my ministry today. You know, this is where I'm supposed to be. And that's what calmed me down.
I love that.
So for you, once you step inside the cage, what do you think about? Do you say a prayer? Do you look back at your experiences? What calms you down and keeps you grounded once you step inside the cage?
Yeah, for sure. I love that. So respect to you. I'll see him as my ministry. If you look back at my fights, and I think PFL did a pretty good job of capturing it, but you'll see me look like I'm whispering, but I'm actually praying that I know I'm meant to be there. I'm not nervous to fight. I'm not like bashful or like excited or not excited. I'm at peace. I'm steady. They're like, man, go kill this guy. Like, go do what you're called to do that one space. Right. And, I'm happy I can do what I love. Like, I look at my coaches and I'm like, let's go. Like, let's go. And it's because, like, I know I'm meant to be there. And, like, God wouldn't have put me there without a reason. So I'm going to make the most of it, right? I'm not going to dishonor him and do that. I'm going to go. Whether I fight tomorrow, I fight last night. Or if they say, hey, we got to fight tonight at 10 o'clock. I'm down and I'm ready to go. And that's what keeps me calm. Like, I just know my faith. You always hear me walk up to a worship song because I know I'm doubting. No matter what negative thoughts come in before, no matter what, like, I'm not nervous at all. It's just, I know I'm prepared and I'm ready, right? And the same for you. Like, when you announce, I'm pretty sure you've done it over and over. Like, you announced my last name perfectly, and that's not many people do that. So I appreciate that. So that means a lot, and it just shows that you care about what you do. When you really care about what you do, you really have no reason to be nervous. Like, I heard this guy, this coach say, he's an assistant coach for Rutgers University. I spoke to them before. Their pinstripe bowl the night before, and he was a vice president of Caterpillar for a time. And he said, I asked him, what do you tell your 29-year-old self? I was asking people what they tell their age. And he said, it's funny enough, I talked to him, but he also just like, trust God, the blessings that you give other people, it's going to come back to you. So keep blessing other people, because without giving blessings back, you'll never get your own. And then I talked to one of the guys who owns Kill Cliff, Mr. Baker, and I said, he said, what would you tell your 29-year-old self? And he said, anxiety gets you nowhere in life, right? And the Bible says, be anxious about nothing, but in prayer and petition, you know, ask God for what you need. And it's like, what's the point of being anxious about a fight if I'm meant to be there? Own it. Take that moment. And that's what it is for me. I just own the moment and I do what I love, and it becomes this peaceful place for me. It's like I'm walking on a cloud.
Oh, it's amazing.
You have so much to impart on people. You have so much wisdom, and you really are a kind soul. It's exactly as I thought that you would be, but it was an absolute pleasure to meet you. I'm so sorry that we kept you so long. I appreciate you so much. Impa, I want to have you back on the podcast again for sure, because I feel like there's so much we could learn from him, Rain.
Yeah.
I had a whole bunch of crazy questions, but I didn't want to ask it because this interview took a turn for like real just positivity and inspiration. Impa, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Is there anything that you wanted to say or shout out before we let you go?
Thank you for having me on. Thanks for nominating for Fight of the Year, and thanks for awarding me that. I'm so grateful. I wouldn't be here without my trainers, my main corners, Dita Navarro, Nick Lentz, Greg Jones, I've got Delano Taylor in there, Henry Hooft, all my coaches, trainers, Sean Soriano, Saeed, Nick Lentz, Jonathan Logan, Dr. Peacock, right? But it's just like, Joanna, thanks for having this set up. Alan, everybody, I'm grateful, man. Like in PFL, thank you. Cause I wouldn't be here with the God didn't put in my life, but I just want everybody to know they're unconditionally loved. So I saw everybody after every fight, because sometimes you go through some tough moments in your life and you really don't know if anybody loves you, but God loves you unconditionally. That's more important than anything. Shout out to all my sponsors. Thank you, Triumph. Thank you, everybody. And more importantly, there have been times in your life where you really, really want to just end life. But I always tell people this: give it one more day and see what happens. And if you give it one more day and the day you feel like quit, and then if it's 21 more days or if it's 101 more days, your life will get better. And you gotta take ownership of your life. So don't give one yourself. Remember, I fight people in my underwear for a living. Some people do a lot cooler things, right? I'm grateful that people support me, and I love it, and I love being the warrior that I am. But it's nothing to be the warrior if it doesn't encourage others to be better. So don't take me too lightly. Don't take me too seriously. Or don't take me too facetiously or whatever. I'm messing up the saying, but thanks for having me on, and that's all I can say. When you watch me fight, know that it's deeper than fighting, and reach out. If I don't message right away, if not intentionally, I'm gonna do better at that. But just let people know who are watching this that your life can be a lot better if you just trust God and that He has a better plan for your life. And if you feel like you're going through a tough moment, praying for you, and it's not a place to give up. It's fun. I love to fight. I love to get after the guy, go kill the guy for sure. But it's not to break them down. It's just to be who I'm called to be. And that's all you should remember. So any kid watching this, you're stuck in a tough place, it's going to get better. I can attest to that. So that's all.
Thank you so much, Impa. It was an absolute honor and a pleasure to have you on this podcast. This is incredible. Impa, thank you so much to you, to your family, to all your friends. All the best to you. Have a wonderful 2024, and we will see you again, Impa. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Arasiva. God bless you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
Bye. Bye. All right, Rain.
That was awesome.
Very incredible. Guys, I really hope you appreciated that and enjoyed that. If you're here watching the podcast because of Impa, thank you so much. Follow and subscribe to us. We've got our second guest right away. Rain, I want to get right to it. So here we go. Our second guest today, she is a mother, a digital marketer, a nurse, a transformation coach, and a boxing instructor, and a professional MMA fighter in the super atomweight division who just racked up her third professional win at Peak Fighting 33 this past weekend, a mere 2 days ago, Rain. In addition to that, she was the Fight Insight 2023 Submission of the Year winner. So we are so happy to have her. She hit that inverted triangle that you all saw us talking about on the podcast. We loved it. That was back in July. Rain, welcome her in.
Please welcome Amber the Misfit Terrell.
Hey guys, how are y'all doing?
Amber, Hi. Thank you so much for your patience. You've been sitting there patiently waiting to come on, and I really appreciate it. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are y'all doing today?
Not bad, not bad. I mean, not as good as you, though. You just won your fight 2 days ago. You're looking good. Like, there's, I mean, you're not looking too beat up or anything. How did everything go?
No, it went really, really well. Honestly, like, all I can say is that was one of the most fun fights I've had in a really long time. And, like, that's all I ever hoped for inside the cage was just getting in there and doing my thing. So it was fun. You always hope for the finish, but us little guys kind of have trouble doing that if we're not submitting people. So I got in there, and standing with her felt really good. So I just ended up standing with her the whole time, and I got a unanimous decision win, and I'm happy with it.
Awesome, awesome. And you have been fighting for Peak for quite some time now. I saw on your Instagram story you wanted to fight again in March.
Yeah, so I want to fight every month, honestly, but they don't have a show in February. So there's already something in the works for March 16th. Y'all keep your eyes out. They already, I think, have somebody set up for me. They just haven't sent the contract over yet. So if you're a fan of Peak Fighting, follow along, and you're going to be seeing a lot of me this year, just like you saw a lot of me last year.
Yeah. That's awesome, Amber. I'm so excited for you and so happy for you, because especially, like, you know, the female fight scene is not that large, right? Like, there's not that many organizations that have the women's fights. There's not that many women fighters around. So for you to be with Peak, who really seems to be stepping up their game with female fighters, like, they've posted a lot about that they're ramping up their female divisions. So how cool is that for you that you're in an organization that's really focusing on that for you?
It's really, really exciting for me. I started with them in my amateur career. I fought for them at 115, and then also for another promotion, I was down at 105, and I had that belt for a little while before I went pro. But the issue us little chicks always run into is a lot of promotions don't do 105 because there's no UFC weight class for it, right? So Peak actually took a really big step that I'm grateful for in creating the whole super atomweight division. And I think their first fight at 110. And we've just been kind of trying to build up that division since. And I heard there's rumor of later in the year, they're going to be doing a Grand Prix championship for that weight class. So Like I said, keep in tune with Peak Fighting, because there's a lot of really, really big things coming for the women's division. We had 4 female fights on this last card on Saturday. And I think people are really starting to tune into the excitement that the women bring.
Yeah, that's incredible. No, it's incredible. It's awesome. Now, of course, we have you on, and we got turned on to you by our friends over at The Fighting Now, which is an Instagram page. They were highlighting you. They were very, supportive of you. And when we posted for Submission of the Year candidates, they right away gave us your name, and they were like, you got to go check out Amber Terrell with this inverted triangle. Sure enough, we watch it. We're like, whoa, this thing is pretty crazy. The fans started voting. They were voting for it as well. And then when we came to our end of the year show, we're like, yeah, this is crazy. Like an inverted triangle. And you were in some serious trouble, I think. I don't mind saying. You were in some trouble. Like it looked like it was pretty tight. Like you were locked in, but then you inverted it. You got it. And the fans loved it. And I think it was incredible. How much does it mean to you that, like, people see those kind of finishes, that, you know, that you're out there doing your thing?
It was really cool to me. It definitely wasn't anywhere in the game plan. It wasn't even anything that I had. And honestly, it really wasn't even anything I think I've ever hit in, like, jiu-jitsu class or anything before. When I finished the fight, one of my coaches came up and was like, oh, you knew the basket escape. And I had no idea what he was talking about. Of course, I know what it is now. But no, it's just like, to me, that win was just a testament of like staying in the fight and not giving up, because she did once or twice before that, especially in the triangle that I then reversed on her. She did have me in a tight spot, and it would have been one of those things it was really easy to give up on. But if you just take that time to just breathe for a second and be like, okay, I'm not getting dizzy, I'm not losing my breath, I can still inhale, like, let's just take a second and see if we can work through this. And I just sat back and threw one of my legs over and felt my other leg. And next thing I know, she's tapping. So it was a really, really interesting thing to see it go so viral, just because it was such a crazy submission. But it was cool. I got I think like almost 100 new followers off of just that submission. So that was cool.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's amazing. I mean, it was cool. And let me just tell you, you know, we were really happy to nominate you and then A and then B to give you the win because like, hey, it's not the stupid, no offense, but it's not the stupid Alexa Grasso rear naked choke on Shevchenko. Like, I'm like, I couldn't believe that was winning submission of the year all over the place. Cause I'm like, you guys understand that's just a rear naked choke, right? Like I get that it's done against Shevchenko. I get that it was done for the title, but it wasn't crazy. Like we want to see something cool. We want to see something unique. And that's what you brought to the table. So congratulations on that. It was a fantastic win, fantastic highlight for your career, but it's only just begun. You're moving on. You've got more stuff ahead of you. The fighting, I can't wait to see it. But I do want to go to your Instagram page, which is at Ready, Set, Rise Coaching. You're not just a fighter. Tell me about the coaching that you do, because that seems to be a massive focus on your Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, with most online coaches nowadays, they don't really do websites anymore. Social media is really how we get clients. So I love sharing my fighting, especially whenever it's around the same time that I have a fight coming up or a fight that just happened. But really my focus is, you know, getting views from those, you know, women that need what I have to offer as far as mindset change, transformational change, weight loss journeys. That's really what I have to offer. I want to help women lose weight in a way that's sustainable, that's not some crazy fat diet that they're going to gain back as soon as they end my program. And I want to help women, you know, get more confident and really change their minds and their habits around food and around diets and around body image while we're doing that. So that's my Instagram in a nutshell.
Yeah. Okay. And so how long have you been doing that though? You seem very modest about this, but it seems really cool. How long have you been doing it?
I've only been doing it hardcore for about 6 months. It's something I've wanted to do for a very long time. Pretty much since around the same time that I got back into fighting and had a whole bunch of life-changing stuff happen in my personal life. I really took that and how I grew from that and was like, I know there's a ton of other women that have been through the same things that I've been through and maybe not handling it as well. And I want to be able to help them on their journey. So I've only been really, really focusing on it for about the past 6 months, but it's definitely something that's starting to gain some traction and I'm excited about that.
Is it only weight loss or what is it? Because it seems more like life coaching.
So it's a mix. Most of the time, the saying is you give people what they want, not what they need. And most people want weight loss coaching, but they really need mindset transformational coaching. So I typically start people on my program with the goal that they have of losing weight. And in the program, we focus on, you know, weight loss and training plans and nutrition, but also on the actual mindset shifts that it takes to create the lasting habits.
Very cool. Okay. And I've got your Instagram down below. So for those that are only listening on audio, it's at ReadySetRise_coaching. That's where you find Amber Terrell, the misfit. And it looks very cool. Like your Instagram stuff is cool. Rain, do you have any questions for the misfit?
No, I saw her Instagram and I'd love to tell you, I like seeing like stories, right? Cause I feel like sometimes when, you know, someone's encouraging you, hey, you got to work out or whatever, but it's like, to me, it's like, for what, you know, but then like, you see like, you know, stories, it kind of impacts you more. And I love what you said about mindset coaching versus just, hey, just, you know, I'll show you how to lose weight, but you want it to be sustainable. So I love how you're trying to set like a base, basically like teach discipline to people, improve mindsets, right? For you, how do you balance everything? Because, you know, you have your coaching, and I feel like for coaches sometimes it's a lot for them because, you know, you have like different personality to deal with. How do you balance that?
Like as far as schedule or like with the different personalities?
Yeah, schedule, different personalities, because you yourself, you need to train as well. Uh-huh. You know? Yeah. So how do you balance it? You know, coaching and then also making things sustainable for yourself too.
So I definitely don't recommend this to my clients, but I don't sleep much, first of all. I'm still a full-time ER nurse. on the night shift. So 3 days a week, I'm just not sleeping. I do my coaching stuff in the afternoon. My kid is in daycare 3 days a week. So that's when I try and get most of my client check-ins and everything done. And all of my hardcore stuff that I feel like I can't focus on enough when he's around. And then my training for MMA is in the morning. So it's really just everybody has to choose their hard. And I've chosen lack of sleep as my hard because I know that at some point I'll get to where I want to go and then I'll have time to sleep. So that's really all it is. It's not so much creating balance as it is like recognizing the sacrifice today is going to benefit me tomorrow.
Your real life superhero.
Yeah. But that's crazy though, because Amber, like you saw, like our guest just before you was Impa, who, and we didn't talk about it on our podcast, but it was on the MMA Hour with Ariel, where he talked about living out of his car for like 6 months, 8 months, 12 months, whatever it was. And like, nobody knew. And he talks about how like he had to do it because he knew what he wanted to do to get to where he wanted. And so that's not you, but you're going through your own struggles and pushing yourself because you're like, yeah, to achieve my dream, there's going to be a period of some sacrifice and difficulty. So it's crazy to hear that you're doing that. But I mean, to be an ER nurse, that's already crazy enough. And then to deal with the coaching, I mean, like, it's just huge kudos to you for helping people out.
I appreciate that. I feel like, you know, everybody should have that purpose and that drive in their life to want to benefit other people. So I like inspiring people through fighting is great, but I actually want to like be able to say that like I created impact and left value in this world. So it's my calling.
Yeah, no, that's incredible because and then even Impa was talking about being mentor and mentee and the importance of those relationships too. As a coach, you know, as a coach or a mentor, you can learn so much yourself, like when you're helping others. And that's the thing, like he was talking about, you know, giving blessings to other people too. When you're helping other people, I don't think everybody realizes that it's very rewarding for yourself as well. And you can learn so much as a coach, you know, like it's not about being selfish or anything like that. Like you're going to learn and grow and develop yourself as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a saying in the coaching world where like you can only help people to the extent that you've reached. So like being a coach is basically committing to lifelong learning, lifelong healing, lifelong growth, because like we're never completely healed. There's always stuff happening, but we have to figure out how to get through our own stuff so that we can help other people get through theirs. Because most of the people that I coach are in the same situation that I've been in, where they're dealing with, you know, postpartum depression, or they're a newly single mom, or they just feel stuck and overwhelmed with life and they don't know what to do. And like to be able to say like, hey, I've been there and I want to help you get through there faster and not alone. Like that's the whole point of coaching.
Yeah. Very, very nice. Very cool, Amber. Like I didn't know who you were. I didn't know about you. And then like to learn all this and hear you speaking now, it's very, very cool. Very motivational. Guys, definitely, if you want the coaching from Amber, go check out at ReadySetRise_coaching. Amber, you're training with brutal Johnny Bedford, who is, I mean, for those that don't remember, he's a UFC vet, but more importantly to me, he's a BKFC champ. This dude is crazy. He was fighting BKFC when it was like raw. Like now people are getting a little bit more technical, but when he was in there, it was nasty, nasty BKFC time. How important is it for you to have a guy like that in your corner? Gave up his birthday to be at your fight?
Yeah, it's actually the second year he's done that. So the 7th, which is yesterday, is a year ago I went pro and made my pro debut. And so he was in, I believe, Arkansas with me in 2022 or in 2023 for my pro debut. And then he was with me on the 6th, which was his actual birthday. So I just being able to give him that win was awesome. Coming from like the gym that I originally started at, where anytime I had a bad performance or lost a fight or anything, it was dealing with, you know, weeks on weeks of basically telling me I wasn't shit and sorry if I cuss on here, telling me that like I wasn't anything, and they weren't going to book me any more fights, and they don't know why I'm doing this. And just a really, really bad psychological environment to coming up here. And whenever I decided to restart my MMA career after 5 years off, having just stumbled into Fitness Fight Factory and meeting Johnny and, you know, Evan Cutts and Brandon Meneses and all of the wonderful people there. And I know y'all know Johnny is just like this, you know, brutal motherfucker, but he's got a heart of gold, and he pours himself into all of his youth wrestling program, all of his fighters. Like, he would go to war for us in a second. And even on the nights that, you know, the fight didn't go my way, he's always just told me, like, he believes in me and he's proud of me and he wants me to keep going. So having that has just been, you know, all the more, it's further driven me to go far in this sport, because making him proud is something that makes me happy.
Yeah, it's incredible. I'll tell you though, seeing him in your videos and seeing him smile and be happy with you and stuff, I'm like, wait, that's not the same guy, is it? Like, I don't he's normally the guy that's like all bloody knuckled and going crazy. So it's so cool to see him there in your corner. Rain, speaking about being a superhero, we got a question from the fans. Did you want to ask Amber this question?
Oh, yeah.
I like this one.
The question for you from one of our Fight Insight podcast fans. Here you go.
Maybe it's one of her fans. I don't know.
And we're just claiming it as our
yeah, we're claiming
it. Our fans is our fans.
Yeah.
All right. So here's a question from @Sean G is me. If you could steal one superpower from a hero or a villain, what would it be and from whom?
Oh, Sean, that's a good one. It'd have to be something with time, like either freezing time or like teleporting. Teleporting would be nice. Like if I could just take my gym bag and just like bloop and be at the gym already, that would be nice. Y'all don't know this, but every other weekend on Friday and Sunday, I spend 4 hours driving to Fairfield and back to exchange with my son's father. So teleporting would be really cool.
All right. So we're going the very practical usage here. I mean, it would also be good because then when someone throws the punch at you, you just teleport behind them.
I wasn't even thinking about that.
You gotta think outside the box, Amber. You gotta think like multiple usages, not just time saving, you know.
Cool, man. I'm all logic.
Yeah. Very cool. Amber, is there anything that you wanted to say to the fans, viewers, and listeners of the podcast? People that might be meeting you for the first time. They saw you get that crazy submission win. They saw you just a couple of days ago at Peak Fighting. They're like, oh, who the heck is this super atomweight kicking ass? What would you like to tell people?
If you've been supporting me, thank you so much for your support. It means the world to me. Y'all are a big part of why I do what I do. My whole goal with this is to inspire everybody to chase their dreams, and don't let society tell you you can't do something. You can do anything you put your mind to. It's just going to take a hell of a lot of work, but you can do it. And if you're new to this, check out my page. Give me a follow. I hope that I can help make your life a little bit better. And thank y'all for having me on.
Yeah, no, definitely. Amber, I definitely want to ask you my final question as well, which I think you heard me ask it to Impa, but on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you?
And I really liked Impa's response to this, because mine, I think, is going to be similar. I'm not religious by any means, but I heard something, I think Alex Hormozi said it once, and it really stuck with me, is that you shouldn't chase happiness, you should chase fulfillment. And so I don't focus on happiness, because when you're chasing your dream, there's always going to be bad days and hard days where you don't feel happy. And that's just life in general. But if you can walk away from each day feeling fulfilled and feeling like you're getting closer to what you were put on this earth to do, then I think that that's a very good thing. So I would say today, you know, it's been a good day. So today my happiness is probably like a 7 or an 8, but my fulfillment more often than not is always really high. And that's what matters to me.
Nice. Two very powerful answers today, Rain, on this episode. Sometimes people are just like, oh, 10, and then move on. But we had two really like thoughtful and thought out answers. So I really appreciate it. Amber, thank you so much for joining the podcast. I really appreciate meeting you today. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for being so patient. I'm sorry about the delay that, like, honestly, that like never happened. So thank you so much, Amber. I definitely want to have you back on the podcast. I definitely want to see you kick ass in March. I want to see you in that Grand Prix. And then obviously at the end of the Grand Prix, you're going to get a nice gold belt, right?
Yes.
Nice. All right. Well, you will look very cool with the gold belt. We're excited to see your career move on from here and whatever path it takes you in the coaching and the nursing, as a mother, as a fighter. We're excited to see you, Amber. And thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It was so nice to finally meet both of y'all.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right. And there you go. There's our two fantastic guests. Rain, what did you think about that?
Oh my God. I love the message from Impa. And also I love how Amber is such a great motivational coach. So really, really inspiring episode today.
I know. We go from last week's DDP interview, which boomed for us. Like, that people love that guy. And then we go here, and again, you get these really genuine, nice people, like both of them, you know, and both of them had a very similar message, which was crazy, like about motivation and inspiring people and being good, you know, and choosing that path and really, really trying to get away from the negative, which is something I'm very, very happy that we continue to support here.
Yeah. Yeah. And they both have the same goal of helping others. So that's really nice that we have like a two of them on the same episode.
I know. And, you know, it reminds me of something I just responded on Twitter today, because someone was writing and saying, like, I'm getting off MMA social media. This is ridiculous. Uh-huh. And they shared, which was, I don't know who this dude is, but some guy was interviewing Sugar Sean O'Malley, who I've heard is a very nice guy. Uh-huh. However, he does talk a lot about weird stuff about his relationship with his wife, essentially cheating on her cheating on him, and they're okay with it, blah blah blah. And this person on Twitter shows this post where Sugar Sean is doing an interview with someone, and the guy's talking about like sexual stuff, and it's like really awkward and gross. Not only that, Rain, he's holding his daughter there in the interview. Now, he's got headphone on, but the guy that's interviewing him is so disrespectful that he goes off and he goes, ah, blah, 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 F, blah, blah, blah. And he says something, but in a very derogatory term. And he goes, oh, I'm so sorry, your kid is there. And then Sugar Sean's like, oh, that's okay, I've got my headphones on. It's like, but you weren't cognizant that there's a child right there on the screen. Like, I'm telling you, Rain, the world is a crazy place. So I'm very glad, and I hope people respect that we try to bring like positivity and keep things, you know, more motivational, inspirational than like derogatory and trashy.
Yeah.
If we were more trashy, we'd have more, way more viewers though.
I think so too.
Damn it.
I'm just kidding.
No, frig, Rain, it's true. Like that, honestly, that's the world we live in, but screw that. Like, we're not going down that route, right? Like, there's a lot of things you can do to be really whatever. But if you're here because of Amber Terrell, thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate her. You guys don't realize how much that whole interview was delayed and stuff like that too. So she was a true great sport to stay on for that podcast, and she kicked ass, you know. I do want to say also, I really appreciate, she was obviously very well done up and, you know, tries to present herself in a very good way too, which is very cool. And that that reflects like who she is as well, right? Trying to put forth a good character as well for you, the fans, and for all the viewers and listeners. So yeah, very, very cool. Rain, we're running out of the end of time, but last week we promised we would talk about that Aljamain Sterling thing.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to watch that fight at all?
I found multiple clips on X, right?
Okay.
Yeah. On how the fight went.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the interview afterwards.
Yeah.
And honestly, for me, I agree with Aljamain Sterling, because to me, it's like, if I was there as as part of the audience, I would probably think, hey, you know, I paid for my ticket to see a fight, and I was just watching clips on my phone, and I don't know, I felt like I wanted to see more than what I saw.
Yeah, So for those that may have not watched the Dricus du Plessis interview last week, let me replay that slight clip of Aljamain talking afterwards. And this is after Fury Grappling 8. He fights a guy, Danzler, or whatever the guy's name is, in the main event. And because of the rule set of this jiu-jitsu match, Rain, not a fight, although that's debatable, but match, the rules were that he could just pull guard. So what he does is the minute the ref goes start, he just drops down on his bum, starts butt scooting towards him and trying to grab legs and play stupid games. I apologize, stupid games, but that's essentially what Aljo thinks it is. Here's the clip. Let's just play that so people can generally hear.
I don't even know how they score that. Another man can't drag his ass cheeks on the mat and think that's a win, doing absolutely nothing. So why are we turning the sport into some type of weird spectacle where you can win a match off of your back, doing absolutely nothing? Pull guard from standing up. Don't just start the match on your butt. That is a disgrace.
There he is, Aljo, spitting facts, Rain. And so you're on his side. You think that the way that that guy was pulling guard and not even pulling guard, by the way, not, that pulling guard would be if you're grabbing the guy and pulling him down on top of you. This is, he just literally drops to his bum and starts.
Right away, out. Yeah. Yeah, because when I saw the very first clip on X, it was like a back-to-back thing on X. Back-to-back posts. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like right away, I saw how like the guy just basically drops on the ground. And I even showed it to my husband and I was like, what do you think of this? And he's like, oh, that's, yeah. He's like, I don't want to see that. It's just, yeah, it's kind of boring.
Yeah. So it's funny. People have come out much in support of Aljamain. Darth Rigatoni, Mikey Muscemi, who's from 1FC, he's that nerdy kid who's a great BJJ competitor. He came out and blasted Aljamain, saying that Aljamain's like doesn't understand it, that this is sport jujitsu and blah, 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 right? I will say that all I know is that when Timmy B made his commentary debut at FLA Kumite 5, FLA Fight League Atlantic, the rule set was such so that you couldn't do that.
Mm-mm.
I was really worried when I went to the event. I didn't know 100% about the rules and stuff, if it was going to be like that. But all they had to do was tweak the rules, and it became such a much more enjoyable experience. So to Aljamain, I think, A, check the rules before you go compete in something. And if you don't want to do that, well, then don't compete in that rule set.
That is true. That is true. Because that's, you know, not fair for him, you know, to get into that match and then realizes, hey, oh God, people can do that. And then now I lost to that. If he was aware, yeah. I guess he probably wouldn't have signed up for it.
I don't, or he didn't think the guy would do it that blatantly.
Yeah, that too. That could be it too.
I would love to know if you're listening this far into the podcast, if you saw that, or if you want to go look it up right now, pause us, go check that out. Tell us what you think about that. Like, would you be interested in going to a jiu-jitsu competition and seeing guys do that? Or go check out other events like Fight League Atlantic, Kumite, and see where, like, no, to get the guy on the ground, you got to grab him and bring him to the ground. You got to drag him to the ground. You got to take him down. And I think that's much more exciting. What I think is interesting too, that people don't realize, if you want to grow that sport, you can't rely on your whole audience being people that compete in jiu-jitsu. And in my opinion, only the people that are competitors in jiu-jitsu or jiu-jitsu practitioners would even possibly appreciate that. So if you want to expand your fan base, you got to get rid of that, because you got to realize people feel like how Aljamain does. You know, remember when we had Liz Carmouche on and she's talking about like, how do we engage more female audience? Even worse for that, because if you're doing BJJ and you put on a show like that, I'm telling you, that's not going to garner people. My wife, if she sees me watching that, she demands I turn it off, you know? And how can I blame her? I'm like, look, I'm just watching this because the next thing's probably going to be good. Right. Like, but it's not appealing to the fans. And I think that that's the big thing. And I don't care whether it's sport jujitsu. I don't care whether that was the rules or whatever. Like, we have to change it in order to better the product, I think. And who cares? At one of the things that Mike Muscemi says in his blast when he does his video thing is he goes, well, what does it matter?
if I go down to my bum, if you just want me to take the guy down, then in the end, we're both on the ground anyways. We ended up in the same spot.
It's like, yes, stupid, but the way you got there is the problem. like that's the whole thing. We want to see you actually take the guy down,
yeah.
Not just go sit down on your bum. So I don't know, Rain, but I think that's interesting. I think people need to look at that, and I'd love to know what people think about that, because the comments online that I've seen, if it's a jujitsu site, everybody's like, yeah, that's fine, it's fine, it's fine. And then if you post it on an MMA site, no, this sucks, this sucks, this sucks.
Yeah.
It's very, like, it's so obviously there's two different fields. But I think if you think about it from a sense of, if I'm trying to put out a product and I want more viewers and fans, got to get rid of that crap, man.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Was Aljamain getting booed during that interview? I can't remember, but I thought I've heard some boos.
Oh, my goodness, Rain. This is the thing. That crowd at that event is cheering when the guy goes on his bum and stuff. And I'm like, but that only further shows my point, which is if you did that in a crowd of regular random people, they would not cheer that for 1 second.
Mm.
They're only cheering it because that's a crowd of people that are jujitsu knowledgeable.
Mm.
And then you would say, well, Tim, who cares? Because aren't I only trying to appeal to jujitsu people or jujitsu fans? No, I would say no. Like if I go to a basketball, if I go to a Raptors game, or if I go to a Toronto Maple Leaf hockey game, you know, or if I go to whatever, a football game, not everyone in the stands is like a diehard fan of the sport. There's a lot of people that would just go there for business or because a friend is there or whatever, but it still has to be an entertaining product.
Yeah.
I don't know. Very, very crazy, Rain. Very crazy. But yeah, anyways, that's that. I know that next week, what are we doing on the show next week? Do you know?
I don't know. I think, we're going to have the, was it the doctor, I think?
Yeah, I think we're going to have Dr. Jimmy back. He's been on the show many times. He's my good friend from childhood. And he's a chiropractor. I like to call him our resident medical expert. So when we need things, you know, he's a very intelligent dude. And I think what he's going to do is he's going to dissect the Drug-Free Sport International, which is what replaced USADA. He's going to come in and we're going to try and figure out what the hell this is. Because, Rain, it started, you know, by the time you're seeing this, like 10 days ago. It started on January 1st that DSFI replaced USADA. Nobody knows what the hell's going on. I reached out to some UFC people. They haven't heard boo about it. They don't know what the hell the difference is. So we're going to try and break it down for them. We're going to try and understand what this whole thing is. Does it really mean that Conor McGregor can fight a lot easier? Do they not have to pee into cups as much anymore? We'll find out. So very interesting if you care about how much pee will be going in those cups, Rain. Rain, you've got your thing coming up next. You've got UNF.
UNF 15.
Team.
Yes, yes. On January 27th at the Ukrainian Art Museum. So it's going to be really cool because that we've never done a show at that venue. So I'm really excited because I have never been at that venue too. So I'm excited to see what it's going to look like. And I'm also excited to see Khalil Pearson. I know he's going to be fighting at UNF 15. It's been a while since I've announced him. So that's exciting. Yeah.
Let's get him back on the podcast. I want him back before the fight.
Yes. Luscious Gordo, come back to the podcast. You're a friend of the show.
Let's go, buddy. You know, I just saw a post about him. And if you go back and watch our podcast with him, he explains why his tattoos are backwards musical notes. And every time I see posts with him and I see those backwards musical notes, it makes me remember why he has that. And I'm always like, oh, that's freaking cool, man. So I love that dude for that. That's really cool. Do you remember?
No, I don't.
You're the worst. Okay, I'm going to spoil this for people. It's because he says the music is coming out of him. So the music
out of
him, so they would appear like that. Anyways. Oh, God. Rain.
My memory is bad. I don't even know your name. Wait, you're Timmy B.
Timmy B. Says it right over there. That's how you know. All right, Rain. Aside from that, I think we're good. Guys, I really appreciate it. We have a ton of new followers as well. So thank you to all the new followers. We do hope that you're watching this. Next week's going to be very cool. We'll get a fighter on, but we'll also talk about the DSFI. And then the week following Reign, it is confirmed. We have the Assemblyman from California.
California.
His name is Matt Haney. He is going to come on. He's the guy that authored the bill that has now produced a pension for MMA fighters in California. It's a thing. It's legit, apparently. This guy authored it. He's coming on the podcast. We're going to grill him like he's on the Senate floor, Rain. We're going to grill him. And we're going to figure out what the hell this pension is. How does someone get it? What is it? How much is it? What do you got to do? You know, should every fighter just start moving to California?
Oh, yeah.
Because if it means there's a pension, why not? Why would you freaking not go get that pension, right? So, Rain, very excited for you, for UNF, and very excited for everything that's coming up on this show. We've got lots of good guests lined up. So thank you. Thank you again to Impa. Thank you to Amber Terrell. Rain, goodbye. Have a great
one. Bye. Thank you, guys.